This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Cedric Mullins gets the first crack at Skeens. And he got it.
And seems set. I think they'd rather keep developing him as a starter anyway.
Laureano tied up on strike three from Skeens. He's going to get a lot of outfield reps. Going to get to the high heat.
And bringing in some right-handed hitters, and here's one right here.
Laureano into the glove.
Bob, could we have just a little good news before we get to Erik Karlsson and how all of our teams stink again? I come in this morning on a Monday hoping for a little good news, but first I'd like to inquire as to your well-being. How are you?
Everything's fine, Joe. How are you? It's a beautiful sunny day. Can't be anything but nice on a day like this. Makes you think of spring, makes you think of golf, makes you think getting out in the yard, doing all the yard work. I look forward to that.
Neither one of us do yard work. Who are we kidding, Bob? Yeah. But it does make you think of that.
I pick weeds.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Do you?
I pick weeds. That's my thing. I told Lisa it's actually a very tranquil situation for me. I go out there and I just pick weeds, and I don't have to, listen to music and pick weeds.
I can't do yard work. I found that it's the single worst thing for my back, which was surgically repaired about 15 years ago. The single worst thing.
Bending over a lot, that's not a good thing.
You look resplendent in blue today, Bob. Light blue. Doesn't he look great today, Limits?
He does. He's got a smile on his face. Looks like he's just got not a case of the Mondays, that's for sure.
What a wonderful man. We're all dressed in blue. Look at this, Bob. What's your sweatshirt say over there?
Limits. Doesn't say anything. It's just
Doesn't say anything? Regular sweatshirt.
Just a regular Nike sweatshirt.
Oh, it says Nike then.
Yeah.
It's not plain. It doesn't have nothing on it.
Well, yours has a logo on it.
He's already shooting. He shot me a dart in the hallway, Bob. Did you hear about that?
No.
You and Doran were talking. I said something about how I love Jackson Dart. And in passing, on his way into the studio, never stopped, said, "You're the only one," like that. And it hurt, Bob.
And I may agree with him.
It hurt. I'll tell you that much. I'm wearing a, what does this say? Sandusky, Ohio?
Cedar Point. You're a big roller coaster fan?
No, I hate them.
Yeah, I don't. I pull my medical card out because, with heart issues, I'm not allowed to go on any of those kind of things. So that's my real reason. The real reason, though, is that I just don't like them. I don't like heights. I don't like
going up. There's nothing about them I enjoy.
No.
And the last time my daughter took me up on one was at Hershey Park maybe 2 years ago, and I yelled at her the whole time, "Why did you make me
do
this?"
How is Hershey Park? We've never been there, but I heard it's fantastic. Yeah,
wonderful.
So it's a good place to go?
Yeah. You see all kinds of animals, including the most interesting animal of all, the humans walking around. and then there's great roller coasters there, if you like that type of thing.
I'd rather go on the turtle.
Yeah, me too. What's the one at Kennywood that's just a little... It's a race between you and the other guy, the racer, cleverly
called?
The racer. Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called.
Yeah. You like that one?
That is the race between the two little cars going next to each other on the roller coaster.
I like that a lot. The whole idea of going up a big roller coaster with the anticipation, in my case, abject fear and terror, what's fun about it? It's like a horror movie. What is fun about being terrorized? I don't get it.
Some
Bob.
People get an adrenaline rush. I get it. If that's what you like, that's fine. I do not get that same. I get a feeling of terror, yes. And I always think, you see videos now, I shouldn't even look at Instagram because they have these ones where those roller coasters, something goes wrong and they're hanging and dangling from,
exactly.
End in sight.
Right.
I don't want to think that way.
Yeah, I make sure the guy comes over and straps the thing in with me, like make sure that bar is down. I make him test it before we go. Seriously.
I agree.
On any one of those things. It's crazy.
Yeah, you don't want to be responsible for your own death by not putting the bar down.
No, and I'm the one guy who will do it wrong. I'm scarred from an incident in Austria when I was a kid. My dad taught at an Anglo-American school in Sweden, and we took a little trip around here. He was a European history professor, so he wanted, we just talked about this back in Buffalo. He wanted, crazy as it was, four little kids. He took us all to Sweden with my mom so he could travel around and know what he spoke of when he got back to teaching. So in Austria, Bob, I had ski lessons and went up on a big ski lift and didn't close the thing right or didn't sit right. And a guy literally saved me from crashing down a long ways, perhaps to my death. And I think that scarred me forever. That's why even if it's the like the Ferris wheel or even a merry-go-round, I make sure that the guy comes in and that I'm strapped in and that he makes sure I'm strapped in, not me. Do you know what I mean?
Very fair. Very fair, Joe. Those little things that scar you whenever you're younger. I get it. Like, why don't you like roller coasters, though, that like are like the Jackrabbit, though, or the Racer. Like,
I'm fine with the Jackrabbit and the Racer.
Yeah, I don't like things that go upside down and, like, spin. Yeah, I don't like that.
Is the Racer fixed? Have you heard that over the years, Bob? Do we know who's going to win before the race, or do they?
I have no clue.
Or is it a legitimate race that you can help along with some strategy?
It should be a legitimate race based on strategy.
I think so.
I always sit in the car that did not win the last race because they're probably prone to win this time. Play the odds.
The greatest.
It's like going to Vegas and looking at one of those slot machines. You figure out the one that hasn't hit in a long time. You keep watching. As soon as the person leaves, you sit there and try to cash in.
Hidden Vigorish, right?
Yeah.
What's your all-time favorite Kennywood ride, Bob?
I'm really not a Kennywood. I go there. I like Kennywood. Don't get me wrong.
Mine's the roller.
Our grandkids love it.
Oh, yeah.
But for me, I just want to go to the Potato Patch. That's all. I like that. That's my favorite ride.
It's a ride of sorts. Mine is the one that goes, it's a roller coaster sort of. That goes crashing into the water. You like that one, Limits?
Oh, that's the Pittsburgh Plunge.
Is it still there?
We've been on that one. I like that one. That's,
yeah.
You can get really wet if you're standing on that.
That's part of the fun.
Outdoor
is the after the afterglow when you stand over there and it pours on top of you.
Your favorite ride is the shortest ride? That's like a 10-second ride and then you're done.
Exactly. Yes. What's yours?
The Thunderbolt. Wooden coaster. I love it. Now,
see, the
original.
The whole wooden coaster thing, Bob, is something that I can't handle. I went to Coney Island once, and they have a famous one. I think it's called the Cyclone. Don't quote me on that. I think it's the Cyclone. Bottom line is, it's probably the oldest roller coaster in America. And the thing, it was like sitting on an old antique. I was like, this is going to fall apart in the middle of this. It was horrifying. Have you been there?
No.
You should. You're the beat writer.
Not a big roller coaster guy like you guys. Not one of the crazy ones. That's like we went to a roller coaster park once, and it had all these upside down rides and spinning rides and the big heights rides.
Yeah,
it's like I'll pass.
Yeah,
no, thanks.
Me too. Me too. All right, Bob. I wanted to start with good news today on our depressing sports landscape because there is actually.
Can I present to you a positive sports team that is doing great work?
Sure.
Chip Ganassi Racing. Indy season started, and he got first and second place once again with Alex Palou and Scott Dixon.
Is Jamie Dixon involved?
No, but Ganassi's won a lot of things over his career.
He's a legend.
And he lives here in Pittsburgh, so to me, that's a Pittsburgh sports team.
And I commend him on that, and I commend you on that thought. A little bit more in the mainstream, however, of sports?
Yeah, not much.
is this guy, Paul Skeens, that we led off with, and who do we credit for that little clip there?
Masson, the Orioles Broadcast Network.
With all the things that are happening, Erik Karlsson giving up goals with 0.1 second left, the Penguins sinking to the bottom of the league, which is actually a good thing, the Steelers plodding along in the never-ending middle, and the Pirates doing nothing in their offseason, and Pitt football, and Pitt basketball. We have Paul Skeens, who is a generational talent. And a lot of cities go a long time in all their sports without having one of those. We seem to recycle them, Bob. We have Sidney Crosby. I would call Malkin a generational player too. We had Ben. We had Antonio Brown before he lost it. We have legends around here. Before that, we had Yager, Lemieux,
Francis,
all the Steelers,
Coffey,
70s.
All of them. Yeah, the Steelers, all of that.
Well, I'm talking about Mario, Sid.
Well, I would include Ron Francis in that because to me he is a Hall of Famer.
We've had Hall of Famers left and right. We haven't had Paul Skeens left and right.
No.
Paul Skeens is literally a generational talent. Like
22 years old and already predicted to win the Cy Young.
Yes.
I mean, how many people have had that?
He's a prodigy. That's maybe the best word, is prodigy. We've had more than our fair share of prodigies, and this guy's the latest. And who cares about what his numbers were the other day? He's working on a pitch that seemed to work pretty well to the tune of 4 strikeouts in, what, 3 innings? He's got a cutter. What else is he working on?
He's working on a 2-seam fastball, too.
Splinker's always very effective for him.
Yeah, the splinker's an oldie but a goodie, and then he can pump it up to well over 100 when he wants. I can't wait to watch this guy again. Does it salvage what might be ahead for this team? Probably not. But, man, it's pretty good to get to watch a generational talent. He has a chance to be the greatest pitcher ever. He has that chance, that kind of talent. And, yeah, I know it's depressing in a way, too, Bob, because every time I see him pitch, it's why didn't they do more to build around him? And it's a short window. So it's incredibly depressing on one hand, but I'm trying to focus at least for one day on the positive. We get to watch this guy hopefully take the ball 30 to 35 times this year.
No question about that. And everyone is must see just because of how he is. And he's a very confident kid. I think he has all of his priorities together. He knows what he wants out of this. He understands the process. But the thing about it is, I think because of him and Jones and the rest of the staff, which I consider to be a pretty good staff, they're going to be in a lot of games. And I just hope that this offseason doesn't come back to haunt them, that they don't end up missing something by a game because they failed to, you know, come up with clutch hits and key situations. Because that's what they've essentially done in this offseason. They haven't brought in anybody who's going to make a difference, short of, you know, if you believe Spencer Horwitz is the guy eventually, fine, we'll see. But I hope I saw Henry Davis hit a home run yesterday. That to me, and he's had a pretty good spring.
He had a pretty good spring last year, too.
But so what? Are you going to penalize him all the time?
No, it's better than the alternative.
How about if he comes up and all of a sudden he does realize his phenomenal potential? And if he does, now you got to create places for him to play.
Does he have phenomenal potential?
Yes. I think from an offensive point of view, I think he does. He's a power bat.
I want to
see that here, and I want to see them create space. I want to see him work his way into the lineup somehow, some way.
Here's my overall point. Is Steelers quarterback situation pending and maybe even including, especially if it winds up with one of the incumbents, which it looks like it will. Paul Skeens is the single biggest story in Pittsburgh sports, I think, by a million miles. Would you agree with that, Limits? He is the biggest story in Pittsburgh sports.
I would, just because of the hype that's been built around him. It's probably been, I mean, more hype than any Pirate in the last however many years you even want to say it. And I mean, the Steelers are at a flat time. The Penguins are at a flat time. That doesn't take away from what Skeens is doing. He definitely is number one. If you put a chart of what you want to view this year, what you want to see, it's Paul Skeens.
Bob, you agree? Biggest story in Pittsburgh sports right now?
Yes, because of what he did last year, the expectations of this year. And I love expectations. When they continue to rise, that puts a lot of pressure on a kid like that. But, boy, he delivers. He looks like his heart rate is just totally under control when he's out there. Regardless, he knows that he's better than the opposing hitter. Whoever the opposing hitter is, he knows that. And when you operate from that point of confidence, man, that's a big combination. Because I don't think any hitter in the league, you may get him once in a while. Ohtani may hit a home run from him once in a while, but he's going to make Ohtani look bad too on many occasions. So, yeah, I think it's going to be great to watch him. And I want to watch Jared Jones. I want to see Bubba Chandler come up. I want to see him force his way up here at some point of the season.
I'm just wondering what this guy can do this year. He was, last season, he had a 1.96 ERA with 170 strikeouts in 100.
And he didn't start until May.
In 133 innings.
That's what I mean.
Like, this
He's 200-plus innings for sure this year.
This is a national story. That's the other thing. Is when was the last time the Pirates had somebody who was national and even internationally, like on center stage, like this guy? Is he going to strike out 300 batters? Every one of his starts is going to be must-see television across baseball. Like, he has a chance to pitch a no-hitter seemingly every single time
he
goes out there.
It's like a Nolan Ryan approach. Every time he's out there, you look at him and say, okay, how many strikeouts and how many innings has he gone without a hit?
Good analogy.
Yeah, because that's where he was. Same kind of pitcher.
Good comparison.
And also the mindset seems to be the same. Nolan Ryan was one of those guys who would stare you down and challenge you mentally.
Yes.
Go ahead and hit my stuff. Go ahead.
He's a young Nolan Ryan, only better than a young Nolan Ryan. Young Nolan Ryan was all over the place wild until he finally harnessed it. This guy is a national treasure right now, and I don't feel like I'm overdoing it at all. I think he's going to be the best pitcher in all of baseball this season.
He may already be that.
Yeah, he may already be
that. I mean, you can make that argument last year, and I would. He was, to me, the best pitcher in baseball last year, got penalized because he was a rookie, didn't have the kind of experience that some of the guys who ended up ahead of him in the Cy Young, and that's how that often works. But if you're going to look at it strictly on what he did when he got an opportunity to do it, nobody was better.
He led Major League Baseball in strikeouts per inning, or total, or ERA, I should say. He led Major League Baseball in ERA at 1.96. He was up there in strikeouts per inning. I don't have that one in front of me. And the pitch he added, especially the cutter, he's added two, you're telling me, limits? What's the other one?
It's also a running two-seamer, and one of his four strikeouts was on a cutter, too.
I saw that one.
Pretty nasty.
Must-watch television. He makes the Pirates, on days he pitches, must-watch. And it's really hard just to celebrate this without then becoming immediately depressed, Bob, because of their failure to add around him. And I know I wanted to start out positive, and I think
so
I did.
So let's start positive.
Okay.
Let's make a case. And I think this should be realistic for them. They should be a wild card contender all the way until the end, all right, because of their pitching. I think they in a division that, if you look at it, Central didn't do all that much. There's some players here and there that came in. I think Terry Francona will do a good job with Cincinnati. How many wins is he worth? I don't know. But I think they have a chance if they get clutch hitting. If somebody on that team, if maybe it's Jack Sawinski, who's off to a tremendous start this spring. Maybe he finally figures it out after going through a real bad season last year after 2 years where he hit 49 home runs. Just imagine that if they're in it and they have a chance to. That's all I want at this point, don't you? And you can make a case that they could do that with their pitching staff.
What is all I want?
A challenge all year for a wild card. Be in that race until the very end.
Yeah, I mean, that's still a fairly low bar for where they should be in the rebuilding process. But yes, I want them to get the wild card.
Well, sure, I do too. And if they don't get it to me, the whole thing's a failure if they don't get it again.
Yes.
At some point, you have to get in this thing. There are enough opportunities to do it. You have to do it. My question is, I'm going to be very interested to see how they handle a trade deadline, if they are seriously in it and looking like a team that can be.
Let me ask you this, Bob. Should Skeens pitch the opener and the home opener? How would you do that?
How many days apart are they?
Well, the opener for the season, let me see here, is
27th.
God bless
March.
Me. Yes. No. Yeah, the 27th. That's a Thursday in Miami.
Yes, he should pitch that.
The home opener is Friday, April 4th. So if you
So it's 8 days later?
You'll have to figure that out, or limit scan. He's the beat writer.
Well, you said 8 days.
Yes.
I want him to pitch in that Yankee series, you know, and so maybe I don't, you know, I don't know how that works. I would want him to pitch in that Yankee series at home. So if that means him starting the third game against the Marlins, they probably won't do that, but I'm just saying, where do they go between them? Is it the Marlins first? I can't even remember now.
It's at Miami,
and then
at
what?
Tampa, and then the Yankees. So, yeah, I guess that's the question.
Is there a day off or two in there?
27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 1, 2. Yeah, there's one day off. So he could pitch. He could pitch against the Yankees. He could get three starts. It wouldn't be the home opener, but he could get the Sunday start.
As long as he pitches in that series against the Yankees, that's what I want to see.
That's what I want to see, too, limits, now that I think of it. I want to see three starts in the first three series for him,
what's going to happen in the beginning. He's not going to go more than five or six innings in the first start. So, you know, you can control that at least to start the season.
And he can pitch on the fifth day each time. He opens the season at Miami. Then he pitches against Tampa, I think in the first or second game of that series. And then he still gets normal rest and comes back on the 6th. Is that how you're configuring that?
Yeah, that's also how I'm seeing it. He should pitch that Sunday Yankee game. It's probably going to be Keller or Jones for that Friday opener. I can't imagine them pitching Bailey Falter or Andrew Heaney on that day.
And here's the other thing, and you've mentioned it, Bob. I want to see him pitch a ton of innings. I won't go so far as to say you might as well use him up before he leaves, you know, for a bigger contract at some point. Because I don't think you can with this guy. Like, he's on board with this too. And if he wasn't, he wouldn't do it, him and his representatives. He wants to go 7.
Absolutely.
He wants to go 8. I think he has the body for it. I think he has the repertoire for it, where he's not just going to be throwing like a closer, you know, for 7 innings, 100 miles. He figured that out last year. He's well beyond his years in his approach to pitching. And the most incredible thing I thought about last year was when the league punched back a little bit, especially on the fastball, on the heat, then he punched back immediately. And he went into some starts and said, you're barely going to see that. Look what else I got over here. So he's got that type of repertoire where he can almost pace himself through starts. Like, he's not overdoing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And I defer to him. If he feels good and he's cruising along, I'm not going to overmanage him and say, well, it's in the 7th inning now, it's time for me to go to whomever. I'm not doing that. If he's
to save him, you know, save him for what? For
like
what?
Yankees? If he's in 7 innings and he's at 110 pitches, I know that something's not right. Maybe he's not as accurate that day.
Sure.
But if he's cruising along at a really good pitch number, I'm not messing with him. So that's another prop bet for you, by the way. Who will lead the majors in complete games this year? And I put my money on Paul Skenes. I think they're going to do that.
I don't.
No, I do.
I think they're going to be overprotective, and they're going
to maybe
pretend,
to start.
Saving him, and the answer is to what?
The thing is, there are not that many complete games in baseball these years. You know, there really aren't. So, I trust that if he's cruising along, and again, a lot of this is predicated on what they do offensively. If they're winning games, making his life a little easier, I still think he's a good bet to win that thing.
Is he already a top 5 athlete in this century in Pittsburgh? I'm talking this century since the year 2000. Is he already? Who's the athlete of the quarter century here, Bob, that we're now hitting? Because we're in 2025.
You come up with that one out of the air, out of the blue here.
I mean, it's obviously Sid, right?
Sidney, yes. But I mean, I'm trying to think of other options.
Troy Polamalu, Ben Roethlisberger.
You can even say in a short window, Antonio Brown
Brown, for sure.
Geno Malkin, even though he got disrespected with being 101 in the top 100, he's in there for
sure. That was embarrassingly horrible. I think, and Kutch, I think we just mentioned him. I think Sid is number one. Do all three of us agree on that?
Yeah, that's a
that
slam dunk.
That in this quarter century, he's Pittsburgh's top athlete.
I don't think it's as close to a slam dunk as people want to make it believe. I think it's a closer gap with Ben. I put Crosby one, but I don't think it's that far between
Ben and Sid.
There's
3 championships in there, you know, and I think that's important. Well, what he's done internationally,
also,
all the things.
And I think Ben should be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He will be a first ballot.
And I might put him number 2 on this list, but compared to Sid?
Yeah.
Ben's never gotten an MVP vote.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the championships and just the individual accomplishments for Sid are what ultimately put him over the top. I'm just speaking from like a perspective with Ben of, I mean, obviously Sid's longevity is there as well, but I don't know. For whatever reason, I think that Ben should be closer in consideration to that.
I would go in some order, Bob. Sid, Ben, I think Troy is up there, AB, Geno, and Kutch. I think those are all the guys that deserve mention here. Is somebody weighing in with you on your text line right now with some names?
No, somebody just said they like the Skenes conversation, my friend Joe.
Yeah, it's a great conversation. Thank
yes.
you. Thank you to
Joe
City
Mascarelli
Limits
is
that.
His name. He's a good man, and his grandson just qualified for the state in wrestling. He is a big time recruit in football at Canavan, Bishop Canavan, and he's one of the only guys to do what he's done. So,
congratulations there. That's pretty cool. Would you agree with that? Can anybody think of somebody else who belongs there? Sid, Troy, Ben, AB, Kutch, and Geno. You have your Le'Veon Bells, you have your Flurries, you have your Brian Gileses.
Brian Giles, you can make it. I'm not going to make it in this case, but his time here was incredibly good.
He's one of the greatest Pirate hitters ever.
Ever.
So in light of that, I think Skeens is already there.
In that like top five, six,
yes.
seven range.
Yes.
Well,
based on one season,
we're gonna let this breathe a little bit, though, Joe.
Based on one season, that's where I would put him.
Well, I mean, based on one season, if that was the case, should Jason Bay's rookie of the year season be thrown in there as well?
Did Jason Bay have a generational rookie season where people watched him and said that might be the greatest baseball player we've ever seen?
No, but he also won rookie of the year, and it's also 1 year considering 25.
Okay. I'm putting him in there.
I think we need to say that he's definitely in that conversation, but we're going to see how this goes.
I know how it's going to go, Bob.
I think
there's an injury, it's going to go the way of this guy being talked about with the greats of all time.
All right, so let's go how it goes then. It goes okay. Well. Let's say he does win a Cy Young.
Yeah.
So
are you
the Pirates going to come into next year and say you're still going to make what you make, which is less than $1 million?
No, you probably give him the little Garrett. Well, actually, they didn't give Garrett Cole a sweetener.
How did it go with Garrett Cole? It's going to maybe go the same way, and I hope it doesn't.
Paul Skeens does not strike me as the type who's going to take a deal, a hometown discount, to buy out a year of free agency.
And I also don't think he'll complain if he doesn't get one, but he will sock it away in his head and say, okay,
I mean,
you're going to play this game, you know where this is headed then.
Right. So wait a second. Limits, if he goes out there this year and wins the Cy Young and has one of the best seasons ever, he's still not in your top? 5 or 10?
He would be, but we're not there yet. I mean, we're considering what has happened in the past 24 years, not considering, I mean, what's happening now.
Who had the greatest, separate topic, who's had the greatest single season in Pittsburgh sports in the year 2000? Since the year 2000? The greatest single season of anybody. Who? AB, maybe one of those years?
He'd be up there. McCutcheon's MVP season was pretty good. I mean, his numbers also only like 84 RBIs and 20 plus homers.
Ben Roethlisberger, if you look at some of his seasons, where he's that year where he threw 12 touchdowns in two games, back to back 6 touchdown games, and that whole number, the numbers.
I think Skeens' season might have been the best. That's how crazy
it was. Wait a minute. Let's go back to Crosby.
Crosby is up there. Sid's best season would have been the year he got hurt. Is anybody ever going to get
so much time there? That was terrible. You're right. He was on a heater, as they say.
I was writing, is anybody going to get 200 points in a season again? That's the kind of heater he was on. He was, what year was that? He had 56 points he had 66 points in 41 games. He was on pace for 132 points and 64 goals. But as it is, his second year, 120 points, 36 goals. That's a pretty great season, right?
Yeah, it is.
And that year he won the Hart. Yep. I almost think that Skeens' year was more remarkable than that. I think it's the greatest year in Pittsburgh sports. Since when? You could say since that. Geno had a great year. Polamalu won Defensive Player of the Year. Kutch won MVP. I think this guy's season might have been better, Bob.
Might have been. Again, if you're going to take it right down to the season, he's in the conversation. I don't know if I'm going to put him atop some of these other things. Roethlisberger's best season statistically, Troy with what he did in that season that he won, even Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown might be the actual pick
there. If you're looking at numbers, strictly numbers,
yes.
you can't overlook him with that one. The one season where he really went off.
The one year he had 1,834 yards receiving, 136 catches for 1,834 and 10 touchdowns. I'll concede there. That's the greatest season in Pittsburgh sports since the year 2000. You agree, Limits?
I do. And how about the year before that he had 129 catches? Or the year after that he had 136 we're looking at the same thing. 1,698 yards, 13 touchdowns in 2014, 2015, 136 for 1,834, 10 touchdowns. That might be the greatest two-year run of anybody back-to-back consecutive years in the last 25.
Well, I think Skeens is about to have one of the greatest years ever in Pittsburgh sports history. Am I going too far, Bob?
No, you may be very right. If we take away wins and losses, because I'm not going to use that as a barometer.
Nobody does.
What do you expect his ERA to be? What do you expect his strikeouts to be? And what do you expect his innings to be?
Well, what were his strikeouts per inning last year?
They were 10 and a half or 11?
Yeah, I mean, if he threw 133 innings and had 170 strikeouts, Let's get him up to, what, around 200 innings? Can we get him there, Bob?
Yeah, I think so. I think he wants to be there. Why wouldn't he want to be there? And why don't they let him go there? If everything's working well in a game, there's no reason to overreact and go to the bullpen.
The leader last year was Logan Gilbert in Seattle, 208. You had guys just above. I think he's going to get 200 innings. And I think he's going to get 300 strikeouts. And I think he's going to have an ERA of 1.75. How do you like that?
That's pretty low.
That's really low. Yeah, it's very low, Bob.
Sometimes all it takes is one or two really imploded starts to screw that all up. So I just think he's going to be good enough to be in the pole position for the Cy Young all season long. And I don't think anyone's going to knock him out of that.
City Dweller, you think 300 strikeouts realistic?
I don't.
No?
I think that maybe 270, 275. But if he pushes 300, that will be the best year by far in the last 25 years. We also left out T.J. Watt tying Strahan's all-time sack record, too. That was a really good season.
Yes. That I forgot about that. T.J. Watt, that might be your winner right there at 22.5
sacks. Yeah, that's a lot of sacks in 1 year.
That might be it right there. Now I'm trying to figure out his strikeouts per inning so I can prove limits wrong, Bob.
What did he say?
Skeens was 11.5 strikeouts per nine.
I thought 11.1.
Last year.
Okay. Well, that's, 11, almost 12 strikeouts per nine innings. That's pretty good.
So figure out what he'd get in 200 innings at that rate. Does anybody here know math?
No.
No.
I had a guy emailing me the other day shaming me and Bob for not being able to define a square foot.
Oh, I don't know how to define a square foot either. We bought some flooring for our new basement.
He claimed that you and I are uneducated, Bob.
No, I just don't have the time to try to figure that. I do what I do. As I told my wife when I married her, don't expect much beyond that. If you're okay with that, then say yes. Because I am not a handy person. My father did all of that. I get frustrated with that kind of stuff. Don't you? If you had to do something. I also think if I start a project and I'm not capable of doing the project, but in my mind I think I could, and I screw it up, I'm going to end up spending double the amount of money I would have spent if I just did it the right way by hiring someone.
Exactly. I feel that same way. If Skeens throws 200 innings, he, based on last year's strikeout rate, he'll have 256 strikeouts. I think he can get to 300.
Oh, now you're asking for... That's a lot.
I know it is.
That's a lot.
You're asking for a lot for the Pirates to want to put him out there in that situation, which they didn't show last year.
That's Bob's point. Do you think... Bob thinks they will. Do you really believe that, Bob?
Yes, because he's their best option. Unless the pitch count is so exorbitantly high and they realize it's gotten too far. But if it's in the controlled range, like he's in the eighth inning and he's got 90 pitches,
yeah.
I'm letting him go until he gets through the whole thing.
You know what I mean?
If he goes 110 pitches, so what? He wants that.
I think that's a pretty good barometer that you've come up with, is about 110 pitches. And you know what? If he wants to go a little longer, go a little longer. I think you throw out these newfangled cautionary rules with him. Like, you don't go completely crazy, but you pitch him while he's here. He's not going to be here that long. At least I don't think so. Does anybody?
Well, and I think what they want to prevent is maybe he has an injury in the middle of this season or at the end of this season that hampers him next season. That would be their argument against.
I guess. I mean, like I said, you don't abuse him. But I think that he wants this. He's ready for this. So give him the ball and let him pitch. That's what I would do.
Me too.
Our six-pack brought to you by Bet365. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And off the top, presented by JP Roofing & Siding. We have all kinds of treats with the show today. I've become a big fan of one of the college quarterbacks on the board here. You might call it a dartboard, Bob.
And no.
We're gonna talk about him coming
no.
up.
No.
Yeah, we're going to talk about him coming up. We're efforting Ryan Wilson off the combine. What other quarterbacks had good workouts? We have some quarterback news. At least I guess we do. I don't know. It's conflicting news reports, as it often is, with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And then we have one of the most ridiculous hockey blunders I've seen since Tristan Jarry assisted on the Islanders' huge goal in that series about 5 years ago. This one was Erik Karlsson, who springs more breakaways for the opponents than maybe anybody in NHL history. Does he lead the league in assists on opposing goals? Do we have a stat for that?
If we did, he'd probably be in the top five,
at
least.
The closest thing you have is a plus-minus, probably.
He'd win another Norris based on that. Tristan Jarry coming back. We'll get to that at the top of the hour, what we think of that move. But first, back to Skeens for a minute. Actually, first, Bob, I've had this happen to me a number of times in the radio business, going all the way back to my very first shows on ESPN. Remember ESPN 1250 all those years ago? I had a 1 hour show, and I had Keith Law on that show. And then suddenly when he was just starting into his media stuff, he was great, still is great. But then I noticed the callbacks from Keith Law as he got bigger, got less frequent. It happened to me with a certain person in hockey. And now I wonder, a certain draft guru, if this is happening, where we had him on all the time. And now I can't get the guy to return a direct message limits. This is the very definition of the Belfont snorkel, Bob. Yep. Now, you don't get the Belfont snorkel from anybody, so this probably has more to do with me than it does with them.
No. I mean, it depends on who you're dealing with. Sometimes they do get busy, but you're right. I mean, you've done a lot for his career in terms of putting him on all the time, making that dude relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and if you can't do it, you can't do it. I have always said that at least say no. Yeah. I just can't for whatever reason. That's fine.
I feel like I've been big timed. It's like the time I saw you at the elevator when you were walking with Heather Lake and you patted me on the head, even though
I did acknowledge you, though, because I was involved in the conversation. I thought you were rude for trying to interrupt it.
Did you hear about that, Limits?
No, but now I'm offended for you.
If anyone's offended, that's an interesting thing. When people say they're offended, right? That
Bob's
means
offended,
you have
I'm
a problem, not me. I'm not responsible for you choosing
these
to think this
facts.
As an offensive comment or
these
something.
These are the facts of what happened.
No.
And if there were a hidden
You're gonna
camera.
Skip out. He's going to skip facts.
If there was a hidden camera, this is exactly what would have been revealed. I didn't know Bob all that well at the time. We certainly weren't doing radio. I wasn't calling his show as Igor from Indiana yet or anything like that. But I did see him in the hallway before a basketball game going up an elevator down in the bowels of the Peterson Events Center. And I had gone on the show down a number of times, so I was excited to see Bob. He was walking with a throng of Pitt people, including Heather Lake, the athletic director. And I said very excitedly, almost like a kid seeing his hero, "Hey, Bob," just like that. I was walking in the elevator too, and Bob did not say hello. He petted me. Pet me
again.
Patted
the fact that he's leaving out, he's leaving
he
this out.
He petted me on the head like that
I was
a baby
involved,
sheep.
I was involved in a conversation. He interrupted the conversation, so I wanted to acknowledge that I heard what he said, but I couldn't take away from the conversation. You know what I'm saying? What am I supposed to do? Just and then if I ignore Heather and all those other people, they'd say, "What are you just?" You know, we're in the middle of talking.
I don't
you
know.
You did not
if
respect
I,
the conversation.
If a hello is
a
that
pat
much
on the
of
head
a
was
pat.
An acknowledgement that I see you.
Pat on the head, a little pat. No, good to see you, Joey.
I'm surprised he didn't scratch me on the head like I was a little puppy.
You know, context is key here in this story here, Joe, and I understand where Bob is coming from.
All right. Well, let's get back to Skeens before we move on here. I have a question for you guys. I was just talking with our friend Craig Riley, our boss Craig Riley. And this question popped up in our conversation because we were talking about how Skeens could start the season opener in Miami, pitch a game in the Tampa series, and then get the last game of the home series against the Yankees, the home opener series. He claims, and I think he's right, that some people would want Skeens to start the home opener against the Yankees at all costs. What do you guys think? What would you rather see?
I say no to that because that game's going to be well attended anyway. The whole series will be well attended. I'd like to get three starts out of him in the first three series if I can do that.
So what would happen with the way that the schedule plays out is that Skeens would pitch on Thursday in that opener against Miami. His next go-around would be
Friday.
Against Tampa Bay.
Well, no, but if you're going to put him in the opener for that Yankee series, he'd be off for 8 days.
Well, he's saying what's going to happen now, though. He's going to start the opener.
Yes, what I think will happen is he'll pitch the 27th. Then they have four additional games. They'll play the Marlins on the 28th, 29th, and 30th. Tampa Bay on the 31st. They'll have an off day They actually won't have an off day. They'll play Tampa Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that week before the opener. So the way that it plays out, unless they skip a start or they move him back or whatever, he would pitch on Tuesday on the 1st of April against the Rays, and then his next time around would not be until Monday against St. Louis. Unless they decided to jump him up, like if they went in the five-man rotation and, you know, didn't change his days pitched or whatever, he would not pitch until the Cardinals series.
Wait, why not? They have an off day on the 3rd.
Well, that's the thing. If they would go like somebody starts, somebody starts, somebody starts, somebody starts, then it's Skeens' turn, then he would line up for the Cardinals.
Absolutely. Based on days alone, he could pitch the opener in Miami, a game against Tampa, and the Sunday game against the Yankees on each 5th day, correct?
Correct.
With 4 days off.
Correct.
Then he needs to do that.
I agree.
I don't think they will. I don't care who you pull out or whose start you skip. Any of the other 4 guys, you skip their start, however it works. Keller, Jones, I don't care. He needs to start against the Yankees on that Sunday, Bob.
Yes, that's the way I would do it. And I don't think you have to have him in the opening home opener. I don't. I think as long as he pitches in that series, that's what people want to see.
That would be pretty powerful stuff, though. Do you want to see him in the home opener? Would you rather have them reconfigure so he pitches the home opener?
I'd be fine with it. But again, like I'd be completely okay with seeing Jones or seeing Keller pitch that game out, too. It wouldn't be that big of a deal if he doesn't for me, especially knowing he gets the opening day start.
I just want to see him pitch as many days as possible if this team is going to contend, and that means a start in each of the first 3 series.
I'll say this. If it wasn't the New York Yankees, then I'd have a different opinion about this.
Me too, I think.
Because it's the Yankees and it's the first series of the year at home, I want to see him go against that team.
So do I. And part of me does want to see him go in the home opener.
But you can't have everything, though.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, this is why I patted him, Austin, because he wants everything. Not only does he want me to acknowledge him, he wants me to break away a conversation, which would then have gotten me in trouble with people I was dealing with.
What if you started him in the 2nd or 3rd game and then just rested him till the Friday game?
I don't want to do that. He's starting the season day 1 for me.
Why don't we find out from the people what they would want?
I think it would be great to hear from the people. I like hearing from the people.
412-928-9370, 928-9370. Paul Skeens is the best story in Pittsburgh sports. I think we all agree, us and everybody listening. He has a chance to have an all-time type of season on the mound. I mean, he's in his athletic prime right now. And he already was great. He already led the majors in ERA. He's adding to his arsenal. Forget about wins and losses. I've seen people text in. Yeah, he's going to have a bunch of those games where he, you know, has a shutout for 7 innings and the bullpen loses it. I know. But nobody really pays that much attention to wins and losses anymore. It's about the other numbers. Strikeouts, ERA, stuff like that. Advanced numbers. But really, I think even like old schoolers who look at conventional stats, it's more about strikeouts and ERA. People realize you can only do so much with the wins part of it. Would you rather have him squeeze in 3 starts in the first 3 series, at Miami, at Tampa, home against the Yankees, even if it's that last game of the Yankee series, or do you want the Pirates to configure it where Skeens strolls to the mound at 4:12 p.m. on Friday, April 4th, against the New York Yankees to kick off the home schedule? Part of me, as I say it out loud, wants that to happen, Limits. I know you're going to be there, right?
I hope that we could go together and go there. That would be pretty fun. But yeah, I'm definitely going to be at the home opener.
We've been going on some field trips lately, Bob, and we're going to the Robert Morris game together Thursday.
Thursday, that'd be great.
We're bonding. Would you like to come?
I have to work.
Call in sick.
Yes.
It's his excuse for everything, no. Call in sick.
I'm starting to talk myself into I want him on the mound Friday against the Yankees.
And some of the texters are pointing out that they want to see Skeens versus Gerrit Cole on that Friday.
That's what I want to see, Bob.
All right. Well, if you're going to do that, then you're gonna have to not start him.
But what if Cole's not the guy for the Yankees?
Exactly.
What a matchup that would be. Huh?
Yeah, those teams are not going to do it based on what people want to see. They're going to do it based on what they think is best for their rotation. And if it happens to be Cole versus Skeens, fine. But I don't think it's going to end up that way.
Now you're making me depressed.
No, I'm just saying I would love to see it, but they're not gonna call one another and say, "Hey, we would like to have Paul Skeens against Gerrit Cole. What's your rotation plans with him?" You know,
Bob's making fun of you.
I'm not. I'm just saying You can't predict that. Why, so because you can't predict that, I want to get the most out of Paul Skeens. He starts in Miami day one.
Why?
He starts in that Miami series or Tampa series at some point, and then he starts Sunday, even if it's on.
That would be nice. It would. I mean, to get him a start in each of the series. And it's also going to be cool to see him on the 27th in Miami to start the season. But part of me wants him on the mound that day. 412-928-9370. Fan text line, or I'm sorry, the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page and the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Here's how big of a deal he is, Bob. The minute we were done with our segment, on comes Boomer Esiason for Odyssey National for their Odyssey National Minute. And what's on the tip of his tongue? Limits?
Reigning National League Rookie of the Year, Paul Skeens appears better than ever. And that's saying something after he went 11-3 with a 1.96 ERA and 170 strikeouts. Saturday, he unveiled two new pitches, if you can believe it, folks, in his arsenal. A cutter and a running two-seam fastball. Boomer Esiason.
That's national. That's a national person talking about a pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates who have been off baseball's radar, really, for the most part, for the last 8 or 9 years. But when this guy came up last season, he changed everything. And every one of his starts is going to be an event. I think it's going to be an event in this town. Like, if he gets off to this ridiculous start, I think every time Paul Skeens takes the mound, you're going to see something close to a sellout, no matter what day of the week it is. And it's going to become like this amazing Pittsburgh sports event where there's...
That's what he predicted last year, remember?
Did he? Oh, yeah, that's right. He did predict that, Dr. Dick did, Bob.
Okay. I don't even know what that context of that was.
Bob wasn't there for that.
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know. The most dominant... You think I'm crazy right now, don't you?
No.
When I talk about some of the most dominant seasons of all time.
But I think you got to let it breathe a little bit. He does.
And I don't want it to breathe, Bob. I want it to happen. I'm sorry, that was going too far. How about Lefty Grove? Ron covered him in 1930, 28-5 with a 2.54 ERA.
That's pretty good.
How about Pedro Martinez in 2000, 18-6 with a 1.74 ERA?
What's the best ERA among starters ever? The best? Bob Gibson has to be on the list, if not at the top, right?
I mean, Walter Johnson... Ron covered his first game in 1913. He had a 1.14 ERA that
year. What about
year.
Bob Gibson's best?
He was 36-7, Walter Johnson.
In one year?
Yes, 36-7. They pitch complete games all the time then.
Oh, I know.
I was there. Greg Maddux had a 1.56 ERA. They're calling this the greatest season ever. Greg Maddux, at least this little chart I'm looking at. 16-6 with a 1.56 ERA. I don't think it's crazy to say that this guy has the ability to have one of the greatest seasons we've ever seen. Where is Bob Gibson's year on here?
Bob Gibson was completely consistent every year. He would always pitch complete games after complete games, and you knew what you were dealing with, because if you're too close to the plate, he would just throw right at you and get you off that plate.
And that's why they changed the mound, correct?
Mm-hmm. Do you have his ERAs? I remember one year where he had a ridiculous ERA.
Well, here's the best seasons for every single team. Bob Gibson, 1968, a 1.12 ERA.
That's what I remember, yep.
Third best mark since 1900. He allowed 38 earned runs across 300 innings. That's back when they threw 300 innings. He completed 28 of his 34 starts with 13 shutouts. I don't know if you're getting there.
Can you imagine that? 13 shutouts, complete game, all. Just think about that.
Yeah.
We talk about marks that will never be broken again.
Right.
That could be one
it
of them.
It can't be.
Just the nature of the game won't allow that to happen.
The Pirates' greatest season, according to this list, is the Candyman in 1977.
Candyman can.
The Candyman can.
Oh, the Candyman can.
20-5 with a 2.34 ERA. I'm not sure that Skeens already hasn't topped that with last year, but it wasn't a full season, so I'll give the Candyman that for now, plus the 20 wins. But I think Skeens, let's put it this way. I think he's about to have the greatest season in Pirates history on the mound. You like that, Bob?
I like that, and I think you'd be right.
Limits?
I love that prediction, and the first thing that I think of when you say it is, so how far do they go if that's what he does? Or is this like a Mike Trout Angel situation where they still can't even crack the playoffs or get close to it?
Fourth place out of the wild card.
Yeah,
but so we'll see.
Very similar.